Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show is underway at 9:16. My first guest this morning, of course, is Laura Sievert from Arts Quincy. The Mary Griffith Show is sponsored each and every morning by Refreshment Services, Pepsi, Harvest Ridge Coffee. Laura's got her big cup of Harvest Ridge. I've got my big cup of Harvest Ridge. And together, we're ready to take on the world. So if you need Harvest Ridge coffee, stop by a convenience store near you. Tell your boss you want it delivered to your radio ranch, or just buy it for yourself at home. Laura, you've got something to announce, something to say to the folks.
Yeah, well, we just wanted to give a big thank you to everybody who called and emailed on behalf of Arts Quincy. You might have heard in the news we were granted that $25,000 out of the Economic Development Fund to go out and try to bring in tourists and try to give opportunities to everyone in Quincy to experience the art. It's the first time in 8 years that we've had city support, so we're just really excited about it. But it took you guys making those calls and persuading the persuadable, and I just appreciate that. I mean, we had folks from all over town. We had the superintendent of schools. We had the Chamber of Commerce. People from all sides of the political spectrum supported the arts, and that's really heartwarming for me, who works in it every day. And it was nice of y'all to do that. So I appreciate it.
Okay. Well, one of the things that's going to bring people to town this Sunday, and maybe they'll have Sunday dinner afterwards and help our community out. The Historical Society of Quincy and Adams County has their program this Sunday afternoon at 2 at the Quincy Senior Center. They needed to move to a bigger place that was handicap accessible. Now, Camp Ellis was opened during World War II, and it was a prisoner of war camp as well as an Army training center. And a man who's 99 years old is going to be there to give a talk and talk about his time as a guard in Ipava, Illinois. So, Laura, tell us a little bit about this program.
Yeah, you know, it is one of those things that I had really never heard anything about, and you think, you know, your time is certainly running out to talk to a real World War II veteran and somebody who did something interesting at that time frame. Like you said, he's 99. So this is such an opportunity to hear it firsthand from somebody who is there. This is Sunday again at 2 at the Quincy Family and Resource Center, and this training center was here right here in Western Illinois. There are a couple of other things coming up at the Historical Society, including the Civil War Symposium. That's October 4th and 5th. Do hop on our website, get the details on that, because signing up early is recommended. They have been filling up sessions.
Yeah, that's going to probably be sold out. Of course, you can't really sell it out because it's free, but you do have to have
a reserved seat.
Another thing that I'm excited about is, again, another great tourism draw to Quincy, supported by Arts Quincy, the Lincoln Douglas Debate Museum. And they've got their History Happy Hour series, which is a little gathering in the evening with some cocktails. And it's Thursday night, September 19th at 5 at the Lincoln Douglas Debate Museum, 128 North 5th. And we're going to be talking about the anti-slavery movement here.
That's right. I should tell you, I was in a tourism symposium recently, and they talked about Lincoln as an Illinois draw. And Western Illinois is such a hotspot for Lincoln. Love that the Lincoln Douglas Debate Center is here and making great strides. But it is a huge tourism draw from across the world. People are interested in learning more. So this happy hour, they've been doing great with these happy hours. Doors open at 5, reception, light refreshments. Talks start at 5:30 with a Q&A. The Abolitionists of Western Illinois and the Breaking of American Unity is the one that's up on this week, the 19th. Next week, the 19th. Dr. Patrick Codal will present the results of recent research into the story of the history here of slavery, early abolitionism, and the founding of the Underground Railroad in Northeast Missouri and Western Illinois.
Yeah, those folks from Northeast Missouri had to get across that river. That Underground Railroad was critical for all that. The Quincy Symphony Orchestra is also getting ready to start with their first concert Sunday, September 19th. We'll be talking about that later this week on the Mary Griffith Show, so we'll just let it go with that. But Laura, thank you so very much for everything that Arts Quincy does. The Quincy Civic Music Association is getting ready to sell their tickets. We'll have them on very soon, too. But one more thing you want to add.
It is the week of Arts and Education, National Arts and Education Week. Just wanted to remind folks that we are doing a drive to sponsor classrooms. We usually sponsor something in the neighborhood of 600 classrooms a year to do field trips and activities in the arts. If you want to sponsor a classroom, this Arts and Education Week is a great time to do it. Hop on artsquincy.org. And you can even sponsor your own child's classroom or grandchild's classroom. So give us a call and we'll tell you how to do it.
Okay. Thank you very much, Laura Sievert. We'll be back with our next guest in just a moment. You know how you know somebody for a long time and you think, well, gee whiz, they make soap and I don't know what else they do. But I found out recently that this gentleman can sing as well. John King is here along with Jeff Moran. And usually it's Jeff doing all the talking, but today it's John's turn to shine because he's part of the Caring Culture Community Choir, and they're having their concert. And yes, they spell everything with a K. So it's Caring Culture Community Choir Concert, September 13th, this Friday night at Union United Methodist Church, 11th and State. Doors open at 6:30. The concert is tuning up, and they'll be on stage at 7, and it's absolutely free of charge.
Yeah.
If you want to make an offering, you certainly can. So, John King, tell us about the Caring Culture Community Choir.
Well, it's just open to anybody. That's how I started about a year and a half ago. I saw it on Facebook, and Coretta Sykes was, I knew her, and she said, anybody want to join us that likes to sing? And I like to sing, so I joined the choir, and I've been there since, and I love it. And good people, a lot of people from different backgrounds, different cultures, are all singing with us, so we really have a good time.
Well, like, what's on the agenda? What kind of music are you
It'll
doing Friday
gospel
night?
Gospel and kind of soul.
Okay.
Yeah, that type. And we'll kind of raise the roof a little bit.
Well, that's good.
Hopefully it comes back down a little bit. But the praises to Jesus. Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. So it's primarily a gospel and soul. So give me some idea. Give me some songs that you're singing.
We Offer You Praise. That's the one I'm going to be doing. And Freedom. That's really a good one. And I've Been Born Again, and there'll be about like 12 different songs.
12 different songs. So it's a nice little short concert, but it's not going to wear anybody out, but it's definitely going to inspire people. Is that the whole purpose of it?
Yes, it'll uplift you, that's right.
Okay, so uplifting, inspiring, caring culture, community choir. How many concerts do you do a year?
Well, we've done probably about five this year so far, but we're going to do a Christmas one, hopefully. So that'll be fun.
Keep me posted.
I will. And,
really good.
Okay. We had one last year, and it was really good.
Okay. Yeah. So this is something that's ongoing. It's growing in our community.
It is.
If people wanted to book you, I mean, do we just call Coretta Sykes say, hey? Yeah.
Yes, she does all that.
Okay. Do you mostly perform in churches?
No. John Wood, we did that there, and we did the Croc Center, we did there too.
Okay.
So we kind of travel around different agendas. And
okay.
Stuff.
So it's Friday night. It's 7 o'clock at 11th and State. The doors open at 6:30. So come and mingle and meet. Will there be refreshments?
There actually going to be. There's going to we have our vegetables and our famous
homemade dip,
and then we have some cookies and brownies and some maybe water and some lemonade for
okay.
the drink.
So soft drinks and sugary foods, but also healthy foods.
Healthy food. Just in case you want something healthy.
Yeah, you better put Jeff over by the healthy food because if you put him by the sugary food, there won't be any left for the crowd.
No, I'm going to have contracts ready. I'm going to book John out like Dude did Loretta.
Oh, I love it. You're in the Dude to him. I love it. Okay, just put up that sheet, take his picture, and say, let's go.
He's going to be on Zero Label.
I love it. The Caring Culture Community Choir Concert. Say that 10 times fast. It's absolutely free of charge. Good-looking group of people. Coretta Sykes, very musically minded. John King doing a solo.
Part one to kick it off.
Okay, so if he kicks it off, if everybody gets up and leaves, we know it blew the last solo we ever done. No, he's got a good voice. Like I said, we know he makes soap. I didn't know he sang. You just learn all kinds of things at the Mary Griffith Show. Folks, be there at 11th and State. Plenty of parking there. It's up in the sanctuary, I'm assuming.
Yes, sanctuary.
So if you're handicapped, park on the east side of the building. If you're not handicapped, there's a lot of parking behind and on the west side of the building. You can just walk up the stairs if you need to.
Yes.
But if you're handicapped, there's plenty of parking. So don't let anything be an impediment to you being there. For snacks at 6:30 and the concert at 7, Raising the Roof, Praising Jesus at the Caring Culture Community Choir Concert at Union United Methodist Church. Thank you guys for coming in.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Okay, we'll be back with the third guest of four on the Mary Griffith Show. It's a quadruple header this morning. We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. One of my favorite people is here, Paul Buehler, because Paul Buehler did an ad for the Mary Griffith Show. We never paid him for it. It runs continuously. He gets no residuals. He got no pay. He gets no residuals. But I love it because I always, you know, Denise Talkett is here too. She knows how cheap I am. And if I have a coupon for anything, I'll use it. And if I get anybody to say something nice about me free, I will do it. So Paul Buehler is here and Denise Talkett is here. We'll allow her to come in the building too. And she's a former co-worker of mine. But she went on to bigger and better things, and now...
Just different things.
Well, you know, they're bigger and better, definitely. But, you know, one of the great things that Denise has done, she's taken her caring for the community, and she's turned it into her avocation and her vocation. Her passion is now her vocation.
Mm.
Paul Buehler's kind of the same way, too. By day, meek, mild-mannered. Thank you, boy.
I don't know about mild-mannered.
Did you hear that ornery laugh?
But you both got mentioned this morning in your ways. Denise, I said you were going to be the Gretiff speaker, so I already gave you your free plug. And Paul, tickets are available for the Camp Point Historical Society at your back.
Yep.
So,
yep.
You know, you both got free plugs this morning, so I kind of paid you off.
Well, there you go.
But today we're going to talk about something near and dear to both of your hearts, and that is the financial and economic and spiritual and social future of the Unity High School in Mendon and the Unity School District 4. I'm supposed to say it's Mendon District 4, not Unity. So you've got a big event coming up. Please, Paul Buehler, tell us all about it.
Yeah, so we're going to be doing our annual fall festival out at the Adams County Fairgrounds this weekend. We're doing a lot of the same stuff, a couple different things. One thing that we're really proud of this year is we're going to have Captain Geach and the Shrimp Shack Shooters out there. They always pull in a really big crowd, so we're hoping that that stays true to form. We're going to have them come on at about 7:30. We'll do a couple announcements before then. We'll do our drawing for our raffle before that. And then we'll do a live auction. So there's a lot of stuff going on. We'll do kids games, bags tournament. We'll do a poker table. There'll be a big vendor blender. That's grown a lot throughout the year since we started doing that. So it's a nice draw during the day. A lot of parents come out, send their kids off to play kids games. It's nice to do the kids games. We have a one price covers all, so we're trying to not nickel and dime you too terribly much. It is a free event, so we try to keep it reasonably priced so people can stay out all afternoon and evening and not feel like they have to take a loan out to come out there.
Yeah, that's important because I know we just had our church picnic. It was $15, all the bouncing you can bounce mm-hmm. and all the games you can play and all that. And, you know, again, parents like to know, it's like, ugh. $15. But then they're like, but then I'm done.
Yeah.
You know, the kids are not constantly coming back every 30 minutes. Mommy, Daddy, I need more money. I need more money.
Yep.
So you're making a donation to the Friends of Unit 4. Just suck it up, buttercup, and let them have fun. And then while they're playing, you can keep an eye on them and maybe have a frosty
adult
beverage. Yeah.
Yep. And we've got some evening activities for the kids also. We'll be showing a movie that night. We're putting that in a little bit of different location. It'll be at the in the Quonset building. So it'll be a little more enclosed, a little more soundproof than where we've had it before. It's been a little disruptive to have the movie going in the background and then the band going. So we're trying something new with that this year. We're thinking that'll work a lot better.
Well, you can also keep your eye on them. Like you said, they're more contained. Chaperones can be posted,
yep.
And then the parents can be having fun with Captain Geach and the Shrimp Shack Shooters, which that band is great.
Yeah,
so
they're wonderful.
Kudos for doing that. Now, this all raises money for Unit 4 School District. And this is genius because there are going to be a lot of people coming there that have no natural tie to Unit 4. So it's just kind of like when tourists come to Quincy and help pay for our streets and help pay for our ambulance service. Thank you. You guys have figured out a way to make this such a big event that obviously people with natural ties to the Unity School District will want to come, but there'll be people who come just because it's a great party.
Absolutely. And that's one nice thing that the venue of the Adams County Fairgrounds provides, is it's easy to get to for a lot of different people. Certainly for city of Quincy people,
yeah.
It's a very short drive.
New bathrooms.
Yes, yes, wonderful
new
bathrooms.
And there'll be a new wastewater plant next year. They just approved that last night, so it's only getting better.
Yeah, if you didn't come out for the Adams County Fairgrounds, just to the east of the main office building, there's a very nice new bathroom facility. So that's made a huge difference during the fair, and we're hoping it makes a huge difference during our event. But yes, you know, we've already gotten several phone calls from campers up in Hancock County that want to come down, that follow Captain Geach. And honestly, we've gotten more camping reservations this year than we've ever had. Now, we're not worried about it. It's a huge campground, and the amount of campers that we have versus what they have for the Adams County Fair is not even comparable. But there'll be a lot of people out there, hopefully, that we haven't seen before. And, yes, even in normal years, it's nice being in the type of small community we are. We've got a lot of people from Liberty that come out, from Payson that come out, you know, friends that either went to Unity and still want to support, come hang out with their friends. It's almost like a small reunion of type for the people that, you know, don't make it back very often, maybe can't come back for homecoming, don't have time to commit a whole weekend to homecoming, but want to see a lot of different people. This provides that type of venue to do that.
That is great. Denise Talcott is also here. And I think you both have kids in the system, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, two of them now.
Yeah. So, Denise, you're very passionate about this. What do you use the money for? What has it? What difference has it made in Unit 4 School District to have fundraisers like this?
Great question. I think it's key that we realize that all of the funds that are raised by Friends of Unit 4 go right back into the school district, ranging from educational trips to books and seating and a speaker system so that a loss of hearing is not a total interruption of learning. I mean, it's what the teachers need. It's what they ask for. And then we give that to them. It's just amazing to be able to see the effects. Like I said, seating, snacks, trips, so many wonderful educational tools, but then also helping with a new scoreboard and other implementation in the school that would not have been possible without this. And I think that that's where it's key, that knowing that your money makes a difference, because sometimes when you make a donation, you're not for sure where it goes. We do a great job of posting on our social media accounts to show you where it goes, but knowing and having a sense of security that, man, my money is well taken care of. And one part that is a large part of that is our raffle. And so we have a raffle ticket that is available for $50. And these raffles, you do not need to be present to win on Saturday, and you can purchase online by visiting our friendsofunit4.com or our Facebook page. And it's amazing. The first prize is $10,000 cash.
Wow.
I know. Mary, we've got several for you if you want to know without.
If you take a check, I'll buy one.
100%. And our second prize is a Browning BT-99 trap shotgun.
Okay.
Apparently, please, that's great.
If I win that prize, please don't announce it, don't tell anybody, and don't let my husband know, okay? Just
I will
me
not.
Down to prize three. What's prize three?
That is a Las Vegas trip for two voucher through the Travel House of Quincy.
I'll take that.
Yes,
I'll take
you will.
Prize one or prize three.
Yeah.
If I win prize two, I'll donate it back to the pressing unit
for. Well, there you
we
go.
We need another gun in our house, like I need a whole of
yeah. And only 500 tickets are available of these, so we make sure that it is an exclusive, that it is going to make a difference, and you have a good chance of winning. And man, all of our previous recipients have been so happy. So again, you can purchase those tickets at friendsofunit4.com. You'll visit us through PayPal. If you know any of our board members, we have those listed on the Facebook page as well, or you can send us a message and we'd be happy to direct you. But those, we have about 100 left, and we want to sell them obviously by Saturday night. We'll have some available for purchase that night, but why wait, right?
Okay. So again, this event is...
It is this Saturday, September 14th. A lot of the stuff starts at 1 o'clock. There is a trap shoot. There's actually a school trap shoot. We have a trap team at Unity, another thing that we've supported in the past and continue to support. And then there'll be an open trap shoot after that. That's more their own event. You'll have to contact our trap team to do that type of stuff. But again, I think they're serving breakfast and lunch out there, if I'm not mistaken, this year. There'll be the vendor blender. The kids contest, there'll be a barbecue contest out there, bags tournament. Most of that stuff always starts at 1 o'clock. And then as the evening goes on, there'll be, the poker table. the live music will start again, like I said, about 7:30. About 7 o'clock, we'll have our ceremony, I guess you want to call it, where we talk about what we've done over the past year, kind of go over some things that we were planning on doing, and then, of course, we'll do the drawing for the raffle.
Okay. Well, Denise is going to hand me my purse, and I'm going to write out a check.
I'll just take it from your purse. You're fine. Blank check will do just fine.
I was going to say, please, no. But we're gonna close it out at that. The Friends of Unit 4, thank you, both of you, for being such good friends to the Mary Griffiths Show. I always appreciate Paul calling up whenever I'm stymied for a guest or something. He's always got something to add. We appreciate that. Say hi to your mom and dad, my travel companion.
Yep.
I'm ready to go back, so anytime they're they're going. Greg and I will come along. See, we need people to drive us at night. We can't drive that anymore. Okay, so we'll take a break. We'll be right back. And then we're going to talk about the future of the Quincy Catholic parochial school system. They announced some big changes last night. We'll discuss that. But first, let's head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative and hear what's happening. First, Rex Battery sponsors this report. We are back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. My guest today is Dr. Christopher Gill. He is the new, I guess we'll call it superintendent, administrator of what will be a Catholic or parochial. You don't have to be Catholic to go to the schools. This is a private education system consisting of elementary and high school here in Quincy. And last night, after really months, maybe even years of study, an announcement was made about the new configuration that they're hoping to move forward to. So right now we have, I remember we had nine parochial schools in Quincy.
That's right.
Now we have four, and we will still have four elementary schools and one high school. But Dr. Gill, explain, just let's, you know, rip the Band-Aid off. What's going to happen? And then we'll talk about why that decision was made.
Sure. Well, thanks for having me on your show. Yeah, so this is a working facilities plan. So I do want to stress that we are still receiving comments from the community on, you know, what they think about the plan, and adjustments can still be made. So right now we are looking at Blessed Sacrament and St. Dominic's to become a preschool and kindergarten a school. And then those two schools will feed into St. Francis, which will become a first through fourth grade school. And then that school then will feed into St. Peter's, which is will be serving our fifth through eighth grade.
So it'll be like a middle school or junior high at St. Peter's kind of complex.
Yeah, middle school, yeah.
I guess, you know, and I've been in all these schools, some more than others, but my initial reaction when I saw this was, will everybody fit at St. Francis?
Yeah, actually it does. We have looked at all the facilities. We have we've actually taken measurements of all the classrooms and looked at everything, and everybody will fit. At one time, St. Francis was actually larger than St. Peter's at one time, because it was a very centralized school for many in Quincy. So they actually have a lot more space than you might imagine at St. Francis. So, yeah.
One of the things, and I was, as a child, I was a member of St. Francis Parish, but we had two schools then. St. Dominic was part of St. Francis.
That's right.
Because St. Francis, as big as it was, couldn't hold all those
kids. Right.
And so they built a new school, and it was St. Dominic's school. The one thing, I know you addressed this, I know you thought about this, handicap accessibility is not the best at St. Francis.
Yeah, those are things that we need to look at. It's not the best in some of our older buildings. Blessed Sacrament and St. Francis are two of our oldest buildings, and they both have, you know, some handicap accessible issues that we will need to address and look into. But we're looking at all of that, and you know, it might be a challenge, but we don't think that it's hindering any of our working facilities plan. So,
you know, having a school district that has different attendance centers is certainly not a new idea. I mean, Quincy Public Schools went to that years ago, and they just built all brand new schools based on that model. But here's the difference. When I go to Lincoln Douglas Elementary School, I don't belong to Lincoln Douglas Church.
That's true.
So how are you going to keep the parish identity when, like today, I'm going over to volunteer at Blessed Sacrament. I do it every Wednesday afternoon.
Good for you.
And
that's
afternoon.
Awesome.
I'm the classroom. I'm the Mrs. Pinky.
Are you really?
That's awesome. So if you ever hear the kids talk about Mrs. Pinky, that's me.
That's who it is.
Yeah, good or bad. But now, interestingly enough, you know, I mean, obviously next year, I won't be doing that because I'm a second grade mentor, so I'll be going to St. Francis, but I'll still belong to Blessed Sacrament Parish, but I don't have kids of my own. What's going to keep me wanting to go to, you know, St. Dominic Church, or which is St. Anthony Church, or Blessed Sacrament Church, when my kids are going to St. Francis or St. Peter's School? How is that parish identity going to work?
So it is something that we definitely are thinking about, and it's really critical for us. We actually have a committee that is that we formed several months ago that is specifically looking at the connection between the parishes and the schools in this new model. We don't think that you have to change parishes because we're all going to be under, every single parish is going to be feeding into one school system. So it won't matter if you are St. Peter's parishioner and have a first grader that is at St. Francis because it's all part of one system. You know, we do plan on being very intentional, making sure that the pastors at each of those parishes are making connections with those students of their parishioners. So when we talk about sacramental preparation, the pastors will actually work with their own parishioners. They'll go to the classes and work with their parishioners on sacramental prep. So that'll still happen. It's something that we're going to have to, you know, keep an eye on. We don't want people to just hop and chip because of that. Unfortunately, you see a little bit of that even today.
That changed a long time ago because you really don't have to belong to, I mean, there's no geographic boundary.
Right, anymore.
When I went to St. Dominic's School, I had no choice.
Right.
I was glad to go there, but I couldn't go to St. Peter's because we didn't live there.
That's right.
We didn't live in that geographic district. Mm-hmm. And then there was a lot of complaints years ago because St. Peter's had no tuition and St. Anthony's
right.
was $2,400 a year.
Right.
I served on the blood on the St. Boniface School Board.
Right.
Ours was outrageous, mm-hmm. but we always paid it because we felt it was important.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's uniform. We're trying to get
that's
to
right.
uniformity.
Yeah.
I think that's it's always going to be an ideal. I don't know if it can ever be a reality,
right,
but it's
right.
always an ideal. So how are you going to fund all this? Because when I put money in the till now, mm-hmm. you know, at Blessed Sacrament Parish, that part of that goes to help maintain my school. So that's, how is it all going to be funded?
So we will be working with all the parishes and kind of first of all, right now, all the parishes subsidize the education for our students, and they subsidize it up to 50% or more for our students. So that is happening currently. Every single parish is doing that. That is not going to change when we become into a system. It's going to be really based on collections. How much collections maybe St. Anthony gets, will that percentage will be set, and then how much collections maybe St. Peter's get, that collections will be set. Because we're still going to need those parishes to subsidize.
The parishes still have children going to school. It's just
yes.
they're not going right across the street.
That's correct.
My second graders will be going to what is called St. Francis Building.
Yes.
But they're still Blessed Sacrament parishioners.
Yeah, and that's exactly
they
right.
They still have the love and the appreciation.
100%.
So you've got to get that buy-in, though.
Yes, we're going to have to get that buy-in. And that's why we're doing these sharing sessions, is so that we can start to unveil, these are some of our ideas. What do you think? You got any different other ideas that we need to consider? Are you interested in talking to us further? We're going to have a survey that's going to come out later this week to try to get even more feedback, because we want to hear from the families and parents and even concerned parishioners like yourself that are just interested in this process. So
I don't have a dog in the fight, but of course I have an opinion. But
that's okay.
I mean, it's so interesting in my lifetime, and I'm 65 years old, and I have seen probably six different configurations and changes in the Quincy public school system, our Quincy parochial school system, all of which were greeted at the time with, oh my God, Armageddon is upon us, mm-hmm. this will never work. When I was in fifth grade, I got forced upon me a whole bunch of new friends because St. Rose got taken
right,
in by mm-hmm. St. Dominic's. And you know what? It turned out to be great. Those mm-hmm. strange kids from
yeah.
the other side of town
yeah.
turned out to be great friends and had good bunking parties too.
Yeah.
And then when we were sophomores in high school, we pledged on the last day of school, we will never speak to the boys. We will never interact with the boys. When we are forced against our will to go to CB High School on the south end of town,
uh-huh.
the girls from Notre Dame will not integrate. We uh-huh. will stay segregated. We will not uh-huh. speak to them in class. We will not have lunch with them. And we will not acknowledge their existence.
How did that happen? How did that work?
An hour later. We were all in the bathroom putting on more makeup. And I, you know, like I said, when St. John's, St. Boniface and St. Mary's were merged,
mm-hmm.
I couldn't have been more irritated if you'd have asked
mm-hmm.
me, you know, but
yeah.
it happened and we all adapted.
And we moved forward.
So the bottom line is, you obviously feel this is necessary for the economic future, but
that's right.
I'm also concerned about the fact about enrollment.
Yeah,
you've
I
got
agree.
To consider that, because we can't have a high school if we don't have enough feeding into it. So what is the enrollment now in Quincy Catholic?
So the
K through 8
yeah,
or 1 through 8?
K through 8, we're at 970. But where we're seeing our biggest growth right now is in our preschools. And this new model allows us to grow those preschools even further because those preschoolers have the potential to become kindergartners and then first graders and then beyond. That's where you need to grow. You need to start at the young age and get the families like, whoa, wow, they really have something special here at Quincy Catholic Schools. I want to keep my child here, not just for 1 year in preschool. I want to keep them here. It's worth the tuition. And that's where we see growth. That's where we see that this plan is better than other plans that we've seen because we can now grow our preschool to meet some of the demands. Because there's a lot of families out there that – you know, they struggle with daycare, right? And they want to move their children out of daycare into a preschool. And, you know, just this year we had 26 more preschoolers attend our Catholic schools than we did the previous year. 26. And that may seem like a small number, but for us it's a huge number. And so we want to continue that growth.
Well, it's a good marketing strategy. I mean, even people who can be against it could understand that because you don't care. I mean, we care, but we don't really care if they're Catholic,
no.
Muslim, whatever they are.
Right.
They want to come to pre-K. But what will happen, and I've seen this happen, is you think, well, only kids that are Catholic go to Catholic school. Oh, no. I'm in the classroom with them every day.
Oh,
about
yeah.
10%, if not more, are not Catholic. But here's one thing that happens. They start learning about the Catholic faith, and they start seeing a church family. And their
go.
Whole family joins. We had a whole family join at Easter last year. It's not that they were just couldn't wait to be Catholic. It was like, wow, something's happening here. There's a family here. There's a relationship
That's
with
right.
God here. We want to be part of this.
That's exactly
right. You
know,
if they'd
right.
have had a Southern Baptist school, they probably would have all converted and become Southern Baptists. So
right.
the point is the children can lead the family, and the parents will keep their kids, like you said. But how are you going to keep them after kindergarten? They're going to a different building now.
Yes,
again.
I know.
So this is a this
it's
is gonna, a struggle.
It's going to be a struggle and something that we are very mindful of. Yes. So there's going to be a transition between kindergarten, obviously, and now in first grade, and then a transition from fourth grade to the fifth grade. So we're going to have everybody. You know, you heard the word death by committee, but there's going to be committees that are going to be looking into all of that, and we're going to be just making sure that we're very mindful when we have looked at other schools that have done something similar. You know, they all kind of pointed to you have to be mindful on those transition teams. You just can't just assume that things are just going to go well. So we are going to be mindful. But to be honest, kids are very resilient. It's the parents. The transition for the parents can be a little bit traumatic. So we're going to have to also make sure that we're mindful of how the parents are feeling.
Well,
you were smiling,
yeah,
so I think
I
know.
A cold compress to put on my head. I've never had children, but somehow I care. we're going to take a break when we come back. Our remaining moments with Dr. Christopher Gale, the reorganization of the Quincy Catholic School System.